The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more. Welcome to the Clean Power Hour Live. I'm Tim Montague, your host. Check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. Give us a rating and review on Apple and Spotify. Tell a friend about the show. And please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love connecting with my audience. We do this for you, these live events now every month, and we're dropping 2, sometimes 3 recordings a week. So check out cleanpowerhour.com. Today, accelerate solar project development by streamlining the land title process. We are going to give you a deep dive on how you can accelerate your solar projects and boost ROI by fixing an overlooked bottleneck, the title order and management process. In this webinar, we are going to discuss why siloed workflows cost time and money at critical junctures, how decentralized processes create delays across teams, why manual tracking causes errors and duplication, how to automate ordering and prevent duplicate title searches, and much more. Our expert panelists are Monroe Jett, CEO and founder of Title Leader. Monroe is a 35-year veteran of the real estate and title industry, and I will let him make some quick introductory comments after I introduce our other panelist, who is Mike Kaler, who is the director of solar development with Azimuth Renewables out of St. Louis. Mike leads the Azimuth Renewables Midwest utility-scale solar portfolio with over 8 years of experience in solar project development, acquisition, finance, and asset management. And we got these two gentlemen together because one has created a software as a service and the other is a true blue fan and user of the platform. So welcome to the panel, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Tim.
You might be wondering, how do C&I solar PPAs get financed? For many, it remains a mystery. For others, there's Conductor. Conductor Solar helps hundreds of developers and EPCs find investors, close transactions, and collaborate effectively. With competitive bids from high-quality partners, Conductor makes sure you and your customers get the best PPA deal every time. Free to use for developers and EPCs? Visit conductor.solar today. And I'll let you both make just a few introductory comments, and then we will dive right into the meat of the panel. Go ahead, Monroe.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate the invitation to be here today. Thanks to everyone who is attending. My brief bio is the first 15 years of my career, I was a banker and a bank president. I left the bank to serve my former competitors as my clients. I started a full-service title and escrow company, which I've ran successfully for a second 15-year stint. And it was during the operation of my title company that I encountered the pain of handling a significant process that was not automated. And that was handling a bunch of clients that are not in the escrow world, but that need title services. So I was providing them title services. The second component was a communication component, and then we had to handle the third component, which was accounts payable. So I automated that, sold my title company, rolled out my software to my clients, which were foreclosure customers. And then we, over the last 18 months, we started picking up renewable energy developers, solar, wind, storage developers that needed title work in the exact same manner that foreclosure attorneys did. About 6 months ago, we changed all of our marketing and messaging to be directly focused on the renewable energy segment. They are quick to adopt and recognize the value of automation and technology, and it's been a fantastic fit. So that's what brings us here today.
And I should mention that Monroe has been a guest on the show just earlier this year, so check out episode 192 with a solo interview with Monroe. And Mike Kaler, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me on here. Happy to talk through the issue of title as it relates to solar energy project development. Yeah, my name is Mike Kaler. I'm Director of Solar Development for the Midwest region with Azimuth Renewables. Azimuth is a St. Louis-based utility-scale greenfield solar developer. We are most active in MISO and the Carolinas with utility-scale solar development. We are typically originating the site and signing up the site control agreement, either a lease or a purchase option agreement for the solar project, and then doing the early stage development work, which includes title. Title is a pretty major aspect of what we do in de-risking a project before we typically sell a project or portfolio projects to a long-term owner or a late-stage developer who then goes and builds the project and owns it long-term. Azimuth has been around since 2019. Since then, we've originated over 2 gigawatts of solar energy projects, again, in the Midwest and in the Carolinas, and continue to have a very robust pipeline. And keeping things organized, especially on the title side, is an ever-present issue that we have to manage, especially across the portfolio and across different states, and making sure that everybody's doing the same thing, or at least in the same form. So, that I think that we've seen a lot of value in the Title Leader product that Monroe has created in helping us manage that all in one place. It's certainly been helpful for us especially as we go to sell a project and need to point to one single place that a buyer can see where the whole portfolio stands as it relates to title.
Yep. So let's paint a picture for our audience. What are solar developers doing today for the most part without a title leader platform, and what are some of the basic deltas that they're going to experience once they onboard with a platform like Title Leader? Maybe we'll start with you, Monroe.
What we found is our users are forced to come up with a DIY process to manage title. So title is a mandatory process. You get real estate land records on the property, the subject property that's going to be developed. These land records will tell the developers they could potentially find fatal flaws in the land records, but it also will share with the developer where they can build, where they cannot build. So it's a critical piece of de-risking a project. And before they can get a notice to proceed, typically is when most of our clients are then selling the project off, as Mike said. So before that can happen, before funds can be advanced from a lender to buy a project, you're going to have a title insurance commitment performed. So our customers are doing the manual process of ordering, tracking, receiving, accessing, storing, communicating back and forth, and then 4 steps of accounts payable. That's 11 mandatory steps they have to go through. And what we find is that customers are using a combination of methods, whether I refer to as band-aids and paper clips. So you'll have spreadsheets and color codes and handwritten notes and hard copy folders. You can ask Mike how he's done it, but also you have non-standard processes. Everybody that is in the title team, whether you have a decentralized process, like one of our customers, East Point Energy, has 12 different folks ordering title. And so they have 12 different processes, 12 different silos. The manager has no access to any of those. So that's kind of interesting. Then there's a centralized process where you've got folks that may have 3 folks doing all the title work themselves. Well, they have 3 different silos. So it's interesting to see how everybody is. We've seen folks use smart sheets. We've seen folks trying a variety of different formats to use, but it can be anything and everything. It's interesting.
Yeah, the theme that
Mike, what are your thoughts on it?
The theme that really stands out here is fragmented. Today it's very fragmented with tools and technologies, and tomorrow it's centralized and much more easily accessible to a bigger team and especially to a layer of managers. But and then I just wanted to comment on something Mike said. You know, he said that Azimuth has 2 gigawatts of projects under development, and you know the queue for renewable energy in the United States is 2,000 gigawatts now. We have a massive queue, and so there's tremendous pressure to find ways to expedite project development and reduce the soft cost. And that's really why we're hosting this event. It's all about bringing down the cost of developing solar. So, Mike, paint a picture for our audience. What was Azimuth doing before Tidal Leader, and how did things change once you became a customer?
Yeah, you know, kind of the way that Monroe described it is certainly something that we've experienced. You either have you know, on our side, you either have, or what I see most solar companies do, you either have like an external title consultant who, you know, anytime you get a new deal signed up, that you send it to them and say, hey, go get me a title commitment. I'm going to pay you a lot of money to go do all that, and it becomes expensive, but at least that's off our plate, and we can't, you know, if we screw something up, it's not our fault. It's the folks that we hired to do that. So there's that, or you can hire a title manager or something in house who can be your point of contact, and that again can be expensive, but again, it's all you know, it's out of the developer's hands and into someone who's more of an expert in the title area, and they're kind of your go-to in-house title manager. You know, oftentimes you see paralegals be that person. And they usually wear a lot of other hats on the administrative side, you know, drafting leases and memorandums of leases and managing court, you know, courthouse and county recorder relations and stuff like that. And then kind of the other way of doing it, you know, at a smaller scale, and if you have a lean team like what Azimuth Renewables is, you know, we can get by just doing it ourselves as developers, and getting the title commitment, and if we find issues from getting the title commitment, then we bring in the curative folks, the consultants at that point, but you know, to solve whatever issues might have arisen in the title commitment process. So there's kind of a multitude of ways that we have done it in the past, and we've had consultants in the past, and again, they're pretty expensive. But they can get the job done, and they have bandwidth issues too, because they may be working for other companies at the same time. And if we need to get title commitment for some closing, you know, the closing might actually get delayed because we don't have the bandwidth on the title consultant side to do curative work or get the title commitment. So, you know, I think that's where Tidal Leader comes in as a really good kind of middle ground, maybe that, you know, we have. You know, you can, I can order title commitment as a developer without leaning on a consultant to go out and run that kind of, you know, process with the title companies, to get the title search done and get the title commitment. You can do all that through Tidal Leader, and I don't have to create, you know, if we have 3 different developers and working in the MISO region, you know, the guy working in the north is not doing it on a separate spreadsheet that the guy in the south of MISO was doing it. It's all, you know, everything runs through Tidal Leader as kind of one sole source of truth when it comes to title. And again, you're not having to pay an outside consultant to manage all that or have somebody in house as a title manager, you know, managing that. It's all in one place. So. Yeah. That's where we've seen a ton of value from the Tidal Leader product.
And Monroe, for those of us who are not title experts, would you describe for us some of the nuances of title? Because it's not as cut and dried as one might think it is.
Yeah, we found, thanks for bringing that up, Tim. We find that our clients are across the spectrum, have no clue about what title is, think that a title search is just a title search, and all you have to do is pull up something on a computer and it tells you everything that's on title, all the way to that we're dealing with very experienced title professionals that are hired by developers that run the land and title team inside a developer. So real quick, for those that don't understand title, the recording system in the United States causes a lot of problems because that the way that it works in the United States and all 3,300 plus counties and municipalities in the U.S. does it the exact same way. That is, they have a recording log, all right? So the log is just when they receive a deed or a lien against a property, they will record it on that log and make an official record. So the log is created by humans. The documents that are recorded in this log are prepared by humans, and then that log is searched by humans. So you'll go back out whatever period of time it is in history and look and see what documents are recorded. Then you'll look to see when a release document is recorded. So nothing ever disappears from this log. The log is permanent. So if a lien gets filed on X date, 10 years later, they want to release it, a release document has to be recorded. So when you're doing a search, you find all these liens that are of record and documents that are of record. And then as you find the releases for them, you cross off those documents. And then whatever is left is what affects title, right? So there's humans that inspect that log, right? So every time there is a human involved, there is a weak link, and that's where defects can come about. So even if a perfect investigation of title has been taken care of, you've searched back, let's say, had to go all the way back to patent in the 1800s on a particular property because that's what the underwriter dictates. So we'll perform that really long search of the property's history, and we tell you what we found. Well, guess what? That's all that we can find, and that's a perfect investigation. Let's say it's an absolute perfect inspection of that log. Well, there are still potential problems out there that are not found, not able to be found, and those are called the hidden, and they're defects. All right. So what are we going to do about that? Well, there's this whole industry called title insurance, right? And so these title insurance companies, which are Fortune 500 companies, they'll insure landowners against risk of hidden defects popping up at some time in the future that were not able to be found in a title search. So that's why title insurance exists. And that's what title searches are. All right. So these title search reports, after you do this search, our vendors will generate a report that, or a title commitment. That's what's delivered to the client. And of course, the clients are renewable energy developers. So our platform does two things. It's the automation of the process, and we're a delivery platform of the title products that developers need. So we're both. We are workflow automation and a delivery platform for the products that they need. Does that answer your question about?
Yeah, that's great.
Title?
That's great.
I was out in San Diego at Interstellar and met a potential client, and we had a call yesterday. Finally had a call after a couple of postponements, and he didn't understand that. He thought all you had to do is look up. He said, "Why is it so expensive?" And he thought all you had to do is just pull it up on a computer and it'd tell you everything that's on title, who owns it, in what form they own it, what liens are there, what easements are there. I was like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So one other thing, there is a series of things that impact the price of a title search. One is how far back in the property's history you're going to go, and that's dictated by the underwriter, not us. The second thing is how hairy or difficult is that property. It could have all kinds of liens and issues on it, or it could be clean, squeaky clean. It could be able to be done fast. The third is that county accessible by, is it online? And can I accept it? Can I access that from wherever I am? Or do I have to send one of my people walking through the door to do the search? Right. So the accessibility issues and components, all of those wrapped together have to do with how quickly something's going to get turned around and what the search cost is going to be.
And my sense, Mike, is that there's somewhat of an iterative process here. When you're developing a project, you're going initially after site control on sites that are in proximity to certain infrastructure that you're looking for, right? Whether this is substations or transmission lines or whatever. And then you have a pool of potential parcels, and you know your land man is getting into dialogue and getting lease option agreements in place. But paint a picture for us, I guess, on how you perceive solar project development and the title infrastructure needs of a project over time.
That's right. You know, as I said earlier, Azimuth Renewables is a greenfield developer, pure play greenfield developer, early stage developer. We sell projects at mid stage. One of our biggest value add is bringing essentially what our highly qualified leads to long-term asset owners out there who don't have the appetite for early stage risk on projects. And so that's what we do, is we take on that early stage risk and identify good sites and de-risk things like title, including environmental, the interconnection strategy and de-risk all these. Usually it's around four or five main categories of kind of binary risk that we have to take off a project before, you know, there's a buyer interested out there, and title's is a big issue when it comes to that. And yeah, our process is, you know, we haven't reinvented the wheel or anything like that. You know, our process is pretty similar to other utility scale solar developers when it comes to site selection. And it's pretty similar to kind of what you described, Tim, in that, you know, we identify target electrical infrastructure, and then, you know, have a thesis on how far away we can be from that, that electrical infrastructure or that point of interconnection. And then we start the outreach to, landowners who have sufficient acreage for the size of project that we need to do, once we've garnered some interest from a landowner and have started negotiating on a lease or a purchase option agreement, then we'll kick off our what we call our pre-lease diligence, which includes a what we call a preliminary title search, which is a title search that we do internally here, given publicly available documentation, kind of what Monroe was talking about with pulling up what's publicly available on the computer. You know, making sure that you're talking to the right person who is the vested landowner, or landowners. And so, you know, there's a few common, public databases, that these counties that Monroe was describing earlier, share data with. One, the big one in the areas that we operate in the mid-central United States is Tapestry, which is also known as Fiddler, which is also known as Laredo. I'm not, Monroe probably knows more about that than I do, but, I refer to it as Tapestry. And you know, when I'm developing projects in Arkansas, Canaan Title Solutions is another one down there that is a frequent go-to for doing preliminary title search work. Iowa Land Records, there's iowalandrecords.org, which has, I think, all 99 counties of Iowa, in it, and it's kind of one single source of this deed information. And so when doing a preliminary title search, yeah, that's the, you know, one of the first things that we do is just go try to find the vesting deed or the latest deed, that shows who the landowners are, and make sure that those landowners, as they are listed in the deed, are listed on the, lease or the site control document that we have signed with them. Because if it turns out there's three different landowners on listed on the warranty deed, on the vesting deed, but you only got the brother and the sister, but not the cousin who also owns 50%, then that lease is not valid. And you don't technically have site control. And so that's mainly what we are doing at the preliminary title search phase, is figuring that out, and then also making a determination on what buildable acreage looks like. And that's where some of the stuff that Monroe was talking about, is when it comes to easements. You know, if there's a pipeline running through your site, that's going to have like 100-foot wide easement, and you're not going to be able to put solar panels on that land. And you want to find out about that information as soon as possible, before you start investing a lot of money into the project and, you know, end up losing that money potentially down the road. If you discover there's a pipeline underground and, you know, you can't build there. Those are the basic documents that we're trying to figure out, and find, in a preliminary title search as part of our pre-lease diligence. Once we sign a site control agreement, once we get through the preliminary title search work, we sign the site control document, then we'll kick off the title commitment work. Pay a title search company, pay a title company to go out and do an official title search, which may uncover things that we weren't able to find from our preliminary work, including, you know, mineral rights is one big thing that we run into a lot in the Midwest and in Southern Illinois and Southwest Indiana, particularly into Arkansas, sometimes those documents, assignments of mineral rights don't get recorded with the county and they all need to be figured out. Because if there's a coal lease on the land that hasn't been, for example, a coal lease that hasn't been, they haven't started mining yet. I go out and put a solar project on that land. And then, 5 years down the road, the coal company comes in and decides that they want to start strip mining the parcel that they had, the first lease on the land. And then that puts a ton of risk on our project. And so again, as an early stage developer, we're just trying to get a sense of what types of easements are out there, what kind of exist other leases are out there potentially that could affect our ability to or the long-term buyer's ability to execute and build the project. Yeah.
All right. So Tim, there's basically three buckets of title work type that you can get. You can either go out on your own, like Mike was doing, and search some tax records or somehow try to find that deed. And you can do that on your own from a variety of public sources, or you can order one from us for $100 and get it back the next day. And you know that you have 100% of the ownership represented in the vesting deeds. We also give you, so this is a search type, right? This is just an informational search type. It's always done on the front end. So we have one client the office within this client is solely responsible for getting leases signed. Right. So they order these informational searches from us all the time. Saves them a lot of time and effort from going to a variety of different places. They can just order from us, $100, turn around a day, boom, you have a copy of the vesting deed, you have a hand typed legal description, because you can't do it via OCR because it's unreliable. The documents are typically faint and can be very old. So from our document, you can cut and paste that into the property addendum of the lease agreement, site control agreement, done. And you're accurate. You know who you're dealing with, you know what. Whether it's an LLC, a family trust, a corporation, or individuals, and you get that data. So that's the first type. It's just an informational only. The second type is what we call mid-range searches, and those can be 30 to 60-year searches. And it's not just going to give you the info as to who owns the property, but it's also going to give you a list of all the liens and encumbrances, easements, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a mid-range search, mid-length search. It can be 30 to 60 years, typically in range. Kentucky, it's 30 years. Virginia, it's required is 60 years. I think North Carolina is 45 years. So so that's a mid-length search. So it's going to give you all the information that we talked about in the very first one. Plus, it's going to give you all the liens and encumbrances. And then the third and final bucket, a type of search work that you can order, is the title insurance commitment. So you hop on our spreadsheet, on our platform, upload a spreadsheet of all the parcels, choose which underwriter you want it from, boom, you get three quotes, and then you're set. You can choose, right now you get one quote, but by next week, Mike, you're going to be able to get three quotes, and you can accept which one you want to go with, and then boom, the title commitment pops up with the title searches and all the accompanying documents into your title or your platform. So let me give you an example, moving on, just an example of how this was used by Mike, and then I'll have Mike comment on it. But, what's interesting about Mike is Mike signed up with us without seeing a demo, and we actually learned something that we need to follow up with any client who signs up on our dashboard and give them an orientation demo to make sure expectations are correct, et cetera, and answer any other details. So Mike uploaded 12 commitment orders, 114 parcels, 12 different spreadsheets for 12 title commitments with 114 parcels. And how else are you going to track that, right? Who are you going to order those? Who are you going to order all those quotes from? What quotes did you get back? What quotes did you negotiate on? What price did you end up with? Where are you going to receive them? How are you going to name them? Where are you going to store them? All that kind of stuff. So it was interesting that when I asked Mike, what's the the core value, the most important core value that you've received from us, he said, organization. You want to comment on that, Mike, if you don't mind, Tim, me asking Mike to comment on that?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, organization and being able to see the status of those title requests in one place is you know, where we see a lot of value. And then it sounds like we'll be able to have kind of this idea of a marketplace for title commitments in the past, you know, kind of going back to those three ways of approaching title from a developer's perspective in the past of having, you know, either it's outside consultant, in-house title manager, or going it yourself as the developer, you know, in the latter category, you typically will fall back on your kind of favorite title search company or your favorite title provider. And there's, you know, Monroe can attest, I think that there's only a handful who are doing this, providing title commitments on a national basis for renewables. And so, you know, eventually you'll just start leaning on that same title provider, which is not bad in itself, but then, you know, there may be some pricing differences that you're efficiencies that you're not realizing by running more of like a bidding process with the different providers. And so, you know, I think that's you know, where one way you can you know, be a better efficiency with Title Leader is having that kind of bidding process run for you. And then also seeing this, you know, once you pick one to move forward with, then you get to see where the status of that is. And, you know, there's pricing, and then there's also turnaround time as well, which can vary drastically by state and by provider. You know, some provider might have access to the database for Michigan, and the others have to go pay somebody else to get it, and it's going to take a long time, or they have to send somebody out to the county because it's you know, they only have hard records on file. It's not digitally uploaded. And so that provider might, you know, it might take them, you know, 10 times longer to turn around a title commitment for you. And so, again, that's a thing that I think Title Leader is great at, realizing those efficiencies.
I think that's great that you point that out, because people will go to Joe Blow title company and ask for a search, and they've paid for that search. They don't know what the quality of it is really going to be. They don't have the experience of understanding the universe of abstractors or searchers. And then when it goes, they go to get a title commitment, it's unusable because they're not approved by the title search underwriter or the title insurance underwriter. So we've eliminated those problems for our users by having the largest commercial title search vendors in the nation on the back end of our platform that are approved by all the title insurance underwriters. They have superior quality. They made all these certifications. If you're familiar with them, a SOC 1 and a SOC 2 certifications, those are $60,000, $80,000, 2-month audits by third parties to make sure you're doing what you say you're going to do, your product is what you say it is, your quality, blah, blah, blah. So these are the two 800-pound gorillas in the nation are on the back end of our platform, and they give consistent, reasonable pricing. We're also adding a third here. So we're going to have the three biggest in the United States. And so you're going to be able to get three quotes, which is the marketplace, as Mike discussed. So Mike was about the fourth or fifth user asking for multiple quotes. And so we're implementing that at the moment, and can't wait to have that rolled out for you.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chinpowersystems.com to find out more. You know, you guys have painted quite a complicated picture for the way that the world works today, the way that companies are doing title work. And there's regional differences, right? Every state is slightly different. And there are nuances around subsurface rights that can really come back to bite solar developers. But What are some horror stories that you can share, either or both of you, about, you know, why it is actually a big mistake for developers to not modernize their process and unify under this centralized approach?
I've got a huge one that jumps off the page. You mind if I go first?
Go for it.
Okay, so one of the big things we do is we get our users out of these workflow silos that I talked about that are inaccessible and non-transparent. So managers have no clue what's going on with any other employee of their employees' work. They can't monitor it. They don't know what it is. It's anecdotal evidence. And we had a fourth quarter last year, we brought on a new customer, and she was the title lead for their company. In her prior company, there were two folks, she and one other gentleman who was 39 years old. They handled all of their title work. They were both in big silos. They were both in different locations. So all this gentleman's title work was in his laptop. He was in one car accident and died, a very unfortunate circumstance, 39 years old. And so the company, meanwhile, every one of the projects that he was dealing on were delayed by over 3 months, because they had to perform a forensic audit to try to figure out what he had ordered, from who, when, at what prices, what problem resolutions were in the process of going on, what problems have yet to be identified, what were the payment situations of everything. They could not get the laptop from the family in a timely fashion because they're grieving. They have personal data on the laptop. It took forever for them to get that and then to recreate all the work. It was a significant blow. And she had moved on to a new company and was searching for something and saw us and got a demo. And so she shared that story with us, that it was an absolute nightmare. So that's worst case scenario, being in silos. You asked for a horror story. That's one. And very briefly, the minor, smaller horror stories are if you have employees that are sick, on vacation, they've been fired, they've left the company, and you don't know what's in that employee's silo. You can't access it. You have to duplicate all the work. You have to duplicate fees. You got to find out with nightmare. Anyway, so we eliminate that. But that is a worst case scenario that I just shared.
I mean, it sounds to me like a lot of companies are probably even using email as their database, so to speak, for workflows.
Yeah,
and
so,
this back
so
and
what
forth.
We find is they're even trying to use Salesforce, some combination of The most sophisticated we found are using Salesforce, some combination of Smartsheets, and then they have to copy everybody on an email, and then they have specific naming requirements for the documents and specific naming locations. But I had that in my company. I had seven people ordering title and commitments, and everybody, even though we had training on it, you're supposed to save it under this naming convention in this location. Invariably, we had seven different processes. We had multiple locations of saving, all different naming conventions. It was a nightmare. So that's why I automated it. But anyway, Mike.
I've seen title get ordered twice on the same project by the same company.
Yeah, we had a customer do that before they, yeah. So
you get to pay for two title commitments on the same project.
Yeah, so you know, each one of them costs, what, 10 grand or 20,000? It could cost as much as 20,000.
You know, we've covered a lot of the ground that we wanted to cover, but from your perspective, Monroe, when you think about what the status quo is today, I mean, this is why you created Title Leader, and you truly are an expert in title search. What else should people know, and what is it that, I guess developers are not necessarily thinking about when it comes to this and the cost of decentralization?
Well, there's never been an automated option before. So they're thinking, why should I, you know, make a change? I'm going to just keep doing it as is. And then they have to be aware of the issues. You know, I have a list of questions that I ask customers, and they're like, you know, I hadn't thought about that. So those would be, you know, How do you assess productivity from your team and your individuals? How do you know who needs coaching? Do you have access to their workflow? And the invariable answer is always no. How do you ensure workflow continuity when someone's unavailable? You have to solve a problem. So those are the questions that I see. But the biggest issue is they're unaware of that there is an automated option that can save them a tremendous amount of time, weeks, even months per project, which is considerable. So to solve that problem, we're about ready to do a fundraise. And hopefully, if and when we are successful, you will see a lot more of us and calling attention to that problem. That's the biggest issue, is education of the problem.
I'm curious, Mike, you know, what your own experience has been, either at Azmuth or in other roles, you know, when it comes to modernizing the real estate processes of solar development, what do you see as the opportunity and the challenges to overcome?
The biggest challenge is that there's just no way. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but there's no way of standardizing it across states for every single situation that you're ever going to face, because title can be, you know, very unique problems to solve. And then, you know, going back to maybe some nightmare stuff, previously you might find an oil lease on your land, and you reach out to that oil company, and you know, they don't want to waive their surface rights, or they want you to pay a lot of money in order for them to do that. You know, there's no way to automate unless we come up with some, you know, very well developed AI system to automate that negotiation with that oil company to get them to waive their surface rights on the land. But there are a lot of ways to, you know, better organize it. And I'll say that this is kind of a ubiquitous problem across all categories of project development, is standardizing processes on the environmental side, on the interconnection side. These are inherently things that are just different in different jurisdictions. And it's tough to standardize them across the board for all folks doing it. And then you got different personalities and different ways of working on your staff as well. So, you know, we use Smartsheet as kind of, you have to have some kind of single source of truth to point to when managing a team and a company. And Smartsheet is what we use. It's an affordable platform. You know, other folks use Salesforce, but our perspective on that is that we just don't have the volume of sales that to justify the cost, because that's a pretty expensive platform to try to implement. So that's how we've done it. But yeah, like I said, it's tough to find standardized ways of doing things across a company when you've got such varying jurisdictions. You know, we tend to put things into, like, this is how we do things in MISO, this is how we do things in the Carolinas. So by RTO, there's some standardization that makes sense to implement. But you know, again, there's going to be significant differences between you know, standard operating procedures for different regions.
How does that impact your work in terms of developing the platform, Monroe, handling all these different jurisdictions? Is that a factor?
It is a factor, but it's easily overcome by working with the largest vendors in the nation that have solved that nut for us through partnerships and brick and mortar within certain states. They've bought up the what we call dirt knowledge in the industry, so they've bought and partnered with other title companies and search vendors in those states where it's difficult, where you have to, you know, for example, the most difficult states are Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Washington. You could argue that North Carolina and South Carolina are, and Georgia, because they're all attorney-owned states, but that's been cracked for some time for us by having attorney partners in all those states to be able to provide us what we need. So our search vendors on the back end of our platform have got that solved. So one stop, you get everything. There have been a couple of questions answered or asked Are you still on track? Will you want to ask something or?
Well, before we do that, I had a question for Mike. You know, when you think about let's just say 100 megawatt project, that's kind of the lower end, honestly, now for utility scale solar in the United States. There is this middle zone where you see 10 to 50 megawatt projects occasionally, but it's very bifurcated. There's community solar in the 5 to 40 acre, and then you jump to 100, which is, for all intents and purposes, 500 acres of solar farm, right? Buildable. And then they go up to 15,000 acres, right? That project in Indiana, Mammoth Solar, I think is 15,000 acres. So projects are getting very large. But when you think about a 100 megawatt project, Mike, what kind of an improvement in efficiency might a developer experience by adopting a platform, this software as a service like Title Leader, do you think?
That, 15,000 acres or 100 megawatt solar project, you know, all things equal, the more parcels that you have on a project, the more likelihood there is that there's going to be some title curative work that needs to get done. And so, you know, I think that's probably more of an indicator of title risk. Again, all things equal, is number of parcels. You know, you could have a 1,000 acre project that has like two parcels, and the likelihood of there being defects on those two parcels is lower than having, like, you know, Iowa is basically all 40 acre squares. And so you got, you know, I've a 1200 acre project that I'm developing in Iowa right now that's got 31 parcels. And, you know, over time, those change hands differently. The chain of title looks very different on 31 parcels. So that, you know, I would anticipate seeing more title risk going into that project with more parcels than I would like on a smaller, you know, at Azimuth, we do develop those smaller kind of 20 to 100 megawatt range, which is called distribution interconnection projects. And, you know, most of the time those are like 140 acre parcels on the low end. And usually that's one parcel. And the title is, you know, ideally, we can figure out from the preliminary title search work that I talked about earlier, any kind of risks that exist on that project, and have a lot more comfort going into that project versus a project with 31 parcels and, five different landowners, five different chain of title that we have to track. And I think that's the key thing is having one place where you can see how those chain of title works, or one place where you can go to find the documents that show that, which I think is what Title Leader does. You know, all the title commitments are posted in there, and you can find them. And, you know, somebody didn't take, you know, if we're using Dropbox, we use Dropbox, somebody didn't take that folder out of that file and move it somewhere else. And nobody can find it anymore. It's all in kind of one place, and it's stuck there unless Monroe moves it. So I think that's the key. They get really, really complicated, as you described, Tim, on the bigger projects, 15,000 acres, that's going to take a team to manage that one. So yeah, it's great to have that, you know, a platform that is specific to title to help manage that. 'Cause that's a challenge with Smartsheet is, okay, it's a great tool. It can be adapted for, you know, really, really almost anything. But you have to do that yourself. And whereas Title Leader, it's already set up for title.
And we have a question from the audience. How can we use the software to keep track of specific title exceptions that we are trying to clear? What does that mean to clear an exception?
There are a variety of things that are found on title that can negatively impact what the developer wants to do. So they've got to get rid of that, that problem. That's what an exception is. So it just means cure the problem. You've also heard curative work. That's what we're talking about, clearing exceptions, the problems that are found on title. And a problem can be, you know, can span the spectrum of something that's pretty easy. But you have to still take care of it. That means get a release filed or get some sort of issue resolved. All right. So to answer the question, in your title commitments, it will be delivered and posted to your dashboard. You get an email alert and a text alert that it's hit your dashboard. Boom, you log in. There it is. It's going to be right in front of you, so you can find that in an instant. You see it visually. You can find any commitment or any title work by looking up any data that was in the spreadsheet that you uploaded. So it's a fully relational database, fully searchable. You can find anything in a millisecond. So instead of hunting through inboxes and e folders and hard copy folders, boom, it's right in front of you. So how do you manage it? Well, you see the exceptions there. And then since curative work is very time consuming and heavy on the communication, that takes place outside of our platform. So you'll email, phone call the underwriter. You'll have full contact information there for the underwriter that you've chosen, and you guys can work through what's needed to clear that. Then once you provide the underwriter the documents to clear those, the underwriter will re-upload for you a new title commitment and get rid of the old one, right? So so you always have the cleaned up version that's going to be in title here for you. Later on, when you go to order a pro forma title policy, if you're there where you're actually going to get a loan on the property, you're going to manage the property, then you're going to need to get a title policy. So you get a pro forma title policy up front. Just shows you what it's going to look like, right? And then after the closing takes place and the money is issued to fund the project, then you'll have the actual FTP, the final title policy. Both those get uploaded into Title Year for you. So you have all your title work per project, right? Easily findable in one spot. Did that answer your question, anonymous attendee?
We have...
Let's assume that it did. The other question was... which title insurance underwriters are available? All of them is the answer. We've got, you know, Fidelity, First American Chicago, Commonwealth, AmTrust, I'm leaving it, Old Republic, Stewart, even Independence, Title Best, you name it. So we've got them all in there. And if there's some smaller one that you deal with that you want us to add, not a problem. Just let us know and we can make that happen.
Monroe, maybe this is a stupid question, but why didn't somebody do this sooner? The value proposition seems so compelling. There's no additional cost for a developer to onboard this platform. And the organization of it all, you know, through a browser just seems like it's the convenience is off the charts.
I don't know what had been done. I know that that I was receiving all this search work and I knew that I had to go through a ridiculous effort to track everything and to communicate and to get accounts payable. And I knew that my client was having to duplicate 100% of that effort. And I thought there is no reason for this not to be automated. I'm an efficiency nut. And I'm like, there is no reason this shouldn't be automated. And so I was misled that it was going to cost me 30 grand to get this automated. So I started automating it. And I'm $500,000 in. And there we go. So I think maybe I was foolish. I think that's why.
Well, in our last few minutes, Mike and Monroe, you know, I would love to hear a little bit from Mike about what is it like to onboard this platform and what do you say to other developers who would consider trying something new?
Right now, it's pretty simple. You go in and you create your account. You can add team members. Other you know, you have one, I think, admin for the company. And then you can add team members, and everybody can see that. You can see your projects. You can see the whole company's projects. Different views and. Yeah, to order a title commitment, I think it's just a matter of updating basic or uploading basic information about the site, parcel numbers, and then that goes to the title company to you know, get back to you with the quote, which you then approve, you know, they give you a quote, turnaround time, you approve it, and then you know it. I can't remember to Monroe if there are automatic notification sent out, like if the title company is not being responsive, does it ping you, send you an email as a user to, you know, go ping that the title company to get back to you on what they said they were going to get back to you?
We have automatic alerts, automatic reminders to them that we've implemented to help prevent a non-responsive underwriter. And what's interesting is underwriters,
go ahead, sorry.
You know, some of them will respond in a day. Others will respond in 2 or 3 weeks. And so you know who you want to work with.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask how the title companies have bought in on the Title Leader product.
That's a great question. They absolutely love it because title underwriters don't make any money off searches. It's a pain. It clogs up their workflow. They don't like handling title searches because they don't perform them. They turn around and send them to the largest vendors in the nation, which we have on the back end of our platform. Those vendors won't accept. If you go straight to them, they're not going to accept you because they want orders on a daily basis. You have to be high volume to work with the vendors that we have on the back end of our platform. And those are the biggest vendors that all the title insurance underwriters use. Okay, so we're giving you access to those vendors. And what was your other part of your question, Mike?
What's the buy-in like from the title providers?
Oh, right. Thanks for getting me back on track. So they don't perform title searches, and they outsource them. Either they outsource them to a platform they have in-house, which is rare. Stuart Title has that, which is good. The rest of them don't. So they are. So we're about ready to roll out some functionality specifically for developers. Specifically for underwriters, where they can just send the orders right into Title Leader, and we'll fulfill it for them to take that heavy lift off of their shoulders, which is going to be huge for us. And they're also going to be begin referring clients. At least these three underwriters are out of the seven. They're going to start referring clients to sign up accounts and use us and talk to them about the benefits of it. And so underwriters love it. I got asked, you know, where have you been? was one of the email responses. You know, I expected them to be. But frankly, I expect them to be difficult to deal with and that they're going to be hard ass. But one of the first was like, we've been waiting for a guy like you to come along. That was the email. We've been waiting for. So that's great. So they love it, which is fantastic. So not only do they like their customers using it, they like the control that it still gives them. They're able to work with you, make a phone call to you to determine the scope of your project, to determine what search specs. Then they upload the search specs. We give quotes. They like it it helps them.
You might be wondering, how do C&I solar PPAs get financed? For many, it remains a mystery. For others, there's Conductor. Conductor Solar helps hundreds of developers and EPCs find investors, close transactions, and collaborate effectively. With competitive bids from high-quality partners, Conductor makes sure you and your customers get the best PPA deal every time. Free to use for developers and EPCs? Visit conductor.solar today. I'll remind our listeners that you can get a free demo at titleleader.com. There's a recorded demo, or you can sign up for a live demo. And we'll be sending out a recording of this with links to both Monroe's and Mike's LinkedIn profiles and websites. So check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. Please give us a rating and a review on Apple and Spotify. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love hearing from my listeners. And with that, I want to say thank you to Monroe Jett, CEO and founder of Title Leader, and Mike Kaler, Director of Solar Development for Azimuth Renewables. I'm Tim Montague. Let's grow solar and storage. Thanks, gents.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey, listeners. This is Tim. I want to give a shout out to all of you. I do this for you twice a week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us your time. I really appreciate you and what you're all about. You are part and parcel of the energy transition, whether you're an energy professional today or an aspiring energy professional. So thank you. I want to let you know that the Clean Power Hour has launched a listener survey, and it would mean so much to me if you would go to cleanpowerhour.com, click on the About Us link right there on the main navigation. That takes you to the About page, and you'll see a big graphic, listener survey. Just click on that graphic, and it takes just a couple of minutes. If you fill out the survey, I will send you a lovely baseball cap with our logo on it. The other thing I want our listeners to know is that this podcast is made possible by corporate sponsors. We have Chin Power Systems, the leading three-phase string inverter manufacturer in North America. So check out CPS America. But we are very actively looking for additional support to make this show work. And you see here our media kit with all the sponsor benefits and statistics about the show. You know, we're dropping two episodes a week. We have now over 320,000 downloads on YouTube, and we're getting about 45,000 downloads per month. So this is a great way to bring your brand to our listeners. And our listeners are decision makers in clean energy. This includes project executives, engineers, finance, project management, and many other professionals who are making decisions about and developing, designing, installing, and making possible clean energy projects. So check out cleanpowerhour.com, both our listener survey on the About Us and our media kit, and become a sponsor today. Thank you so much. Let's grow solar and storage. The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter. With over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S., the CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chinpowersystems.com to find out more.